During the general sessions, where everyone is gathered, of General Assembly, and in some workshops, time was set aside for one-to-one conversations. We want to recreate that experience here this morning. I invite those who wish to participate in a moment to choose a partner, someone near you, to your left, to your right, behind you, in front of you. I'm going to ask you to share your feelings during what I hope are familiar situations. You will have just 30 seconds to share your feelings in words with your partner that you select. To keep us on time, Kathy Adams will strike the singing bowl three separate times. Once to start the sharing, then a second time to signal the end of the first person's chance to share, and finally to let the second person know that their 30 seconds has ended. So if you are participating, please quickly choose a partner. All right, ready? So here's your prompt. Think of how you felt when you were part of something larger than yourself. Begin. All right, switch. All right, bring your attention towards the front of the room.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here. My name is Gary Hoyt, and I'm going to share some of my experience at being at GA. Linda and I attended our first GA last year, 2017, in New Orleans. And that was a big part of the reason we went. We thought if the meetings are boring, stuffy, we've got New Orleans, the Bonnets, chicory coffee, jazz. Well, we didn't see a lot of New Orleans because we found the sessions to be informative, inspiring, challenging. Just being in a room with thousands of other UUs, that alone released a tremendous energy. And you realize you're part of something so much bigger than yourself. So we came home from New Orleans, fully inspired, got out the calendar and marked in the dates for the 2018 General Assembly in Kansas City. The theme of the Kansas City GA was All Are Called, as you just heard sung so beautifully a few minutes ago. The kickoff celebration was Wednesday evening. A big part of that celebration was a banner parade where hundreds of UUs from around the country, each carrying their church's flag or banner, are in a conga line, weaving up and down the aisles. And the music is playing, and the whole assembly is cheering and clapping and singing. It was really something to see. Another highlight of GA was the Sunday morning worship service. The hall was filled with music and song and celebration, and then the sermon was delivered by our UUA president, Susan Frederick Gray. She began by describing her experience of being in Charlottesville and how shocked she was to see the violence there go completely unchecked by the police. Then she said, and I quote, "And I own how my shock reveals my own white privilege and the degree to which I assume the police are in the business of protecting me, my body, my life. That is an assumption not everyone gets to make." Unquote. That statement really struck me because I would have felt the same way. I would have thought the police were there to protect me. And that shows my own white privilege. It was a learning moment. Thank you.
All right, get with your partner again. Think of how you felt when you were not welcome to be your authentic self. Begin. All right, switch. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Will Gagne. At GA, I attended a panel discussion on centering. What I learned was surprising to me. In our call to worship, we heard who is welcome in UU: immigrant, refugee, undocumented, members of organized religions, atheists, etc. However, there is a group who feel less than welcome. Surprisingly, it's UU ministers of color. They are called to serve a congregation, but then struggle to be their authentic selves. They often feel the necessity to change in order to fit in and serve a white community. Their credentials may be questioned, especially if they have a doctorate from a prestigious university such as Harvard. As ministers, they are highly visible religious professionals, yet often feel invisible. There is a sense of need to be mentored, yet never divulge their vulnerability to the white congregation they serve. Due to this stress, many ministers of color end up leaving the pulpit for less stressful environments, such as theological schools or as staff members at UU. Panel members noted that they left their safer environment of their community of color because they believe strongly in the beliefs of Unitarian Universalism, only to be called by a white congregation who are more interested in being part of a social community. Upon reflection, what I took away from this panel was the need to embrace the thoughts of the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray, Whoever you are, your family, your whole self is welcome here, for this is a community of diversity and inclusion. Thank you.
It's time. Think of how you felt when you acted outside your comfort zone. Begin. Switch. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Adams. Sometimes Kat, when we're in a hurry, and Kathleen, if I'm feeling regal. At work, I was so lucky to inherit a window office from a guy who retired. I work at Raytheon. It means Ray of the Gods. With it, I inherited a snack bar to maintain. And when the folks come by to get snacks, we usually do a short, friendly interaction. I've enjoyed learning from folks who identify as conservative, Christian, Hindu, Muslim, agnostic. And the more majority who choose to reveal their views identify as Christian and conservative. And sometimes a conservative will come by and ask me for the liberal opinion. And I answer with a question. We don't argue. We ask each other questions, and we try to listen to each other. As a result, I do work longer hours, to the dismay of my husband, who is very patient with me. Anyway, to make time for people, and I learned to do this after a friend, I might choke up a little, he got cancer, and the next thing I know, he was gone. And he was only 42 years old. So I make time for people at work. Sorry. Okay. So anyway, I happened to be the very first section manager in the receiver exciter department of Microwave Center at Raytheon, or at the time it was Hughes Aircraft Company. But I am so honored to report that we have our first female department manager who I report to, and as her role, she was able to gather several female engineers together, which, oh, I'm so happy, and her advice to us was to move up in this company. You have to get out of your comfort zone. Now, it is the time for mid-year reviews and goal setting for the coming year, and last year, I had the goal to attend General Assembly in Missouri, Kansas. Now, why would I want to spend a valuable week of time off in Missouri, Kansas? Well, it's the General Assembly. I go there to recharge myself, as I do have this snack bar ministry to attend to. So when I arrived at the Kansas airport, a sign said, this is at the airport, please report all wildlife strikes to airport operations. Well, if airport operators go on strike, does that make them wildlife? I don't usually think of humans as wildlife. And I suddenly thought my snack bar is like a little watering hole where diverse people come together like wildlife in the Serengeti. Do my snack bar friends consider me wildlife? While waiting for the shuttle, the air was warm, moist, oxygenated. It reminded me of Hawaii. On the shuttle, I said to the folks there, "Isn't it great? It feels like Hawaii." They laughed. And I mentioned, "I'm going to the convention center." I didn't say I was UU because, you know, I wasn't sure. And they said, "Oh, we're going there too." It turned out it was all shuttle people going to the Unitarian Universalist General Assembly. I was in UU land, strangers who are not strangers. My first stop was to see the Missouri River. The sign said, "Town of Kansas, June 24th, 1804. The Lewis and Clark Expedition was then known as the President Jefferson's Corps of Discovery, passed by this place on their way west. I stood in awe and wonder. Once upon a time, everything west of where I stood was wild. The whole side of our nation was a stranger to the United States of America. And there was a store I stopped at, Reagan, Raytheon, Reagan. And it had a sign there that said, if you hate the stinging pain of human contact, just go to the website. When I went to the convention center, Unitarian Universalist banners lined the streets of the city. I felt welcome. There was a protest happening. It turned out to be a gathering of ministers from all over the country protesting injustice such as the separation of families and upholding the tenets of Black Lives Matter. Of course, I joined immediately. It felt so good to shout and sing together. Protest is worship. Last October, I made the commitment to go to the Unitarian Universalist General Assembly in June. I forgot to delete that part. Typo, I moved that. Anyway, so the next part was, so when I went to the convention center, I did walk up to a table at General Assembly. There were people sitting alone, and there was a woman there alone, and I noticed she had a small purse around her neck. It was a picture of my father's Volkswagen van with 1960s green with white, and it was happened to be the one I met my husband in when I picked him up hitchhiking on Whidbey Island. And I asked her, I introduced myself, and it turned out she was from Washington State, where my husband grew up. So we became instant friends, and now we're still texting each week and checking out each other's Facebook. It's really fun. So warning, you might make friends for life if you go to General Assembly. You'll find people who care about the same things you do. And warning, you might learn things about white supremacy, the Me Too movement, family separations, Black Lives Matter, fascism, and what to do about it. And, you know, it's completely optional. You could just go to the bookstore, go shopping. There's other things you can do. You might sing songs of love to hate groups who are standing there. Sometimes they come because we're there in the city. And also to the police officers that keep everything in hand. And warning, you might change for the good. You might become more resilient and more committed to the UU way of life. So I urge you, I invite you to get out of your comfort zone and join us at General Assembly in Spokane, Washington, where I'll see my new friend again, June 19th through 20th. Put it in your calendars. All right, thank you.
Time for sharing again. Think of how you felt when you learned something uncomfortable about yourself. Begin. Switch. Thank you. One of the highlights of General Assembly is the keynote address, known as the Ware Lecture. It is typically given by someone from outside Unitarian Universalism who is invited to deliver a message that we need to hear. Past lecturers have included Shirley Chisholm, Kurt Vonnegut, Maria Hinojosa, and this year was Brittany Packnett. If you don't know her name, you will soon. I believe the best lecturers are the ones who challenge us as a faith movement, not ones that congratulate us on our accomplishments, the ones who make us uncomfortable. Brittany Packnett did that. She hearkened back to Martin Luther King Jr., who gave the 1966 Ware Lecture. As she noted, King pointed out that friends, supposed friends and supporters of the Negro, who urged caution, their moderation that makes them uncomfortable with rocking the boat. They are supportive of change, but not too quickly, not yet. Brittany updated King's reference of 1966 to the marginalized, the disempowered, the dismissed, and the discarded of 2018. The debate over bathrooms and who gets to define one's gender and sexuality, the spread of Islamophobia and fear of immigrants gaming the system of asylum, and people from blank hole countries who will only be discouraged from coming here if we separate them from their children. I see myself falling into that moderate camp. When I hear others call for abolishing ICE, I wonder if they've gone too far. That's asking too much. What's politically possible, my centrist tendencies, it's like, well, maybe, maybe not. Is that going to unsettle? Maybe we need to wait on something like that. It's but one example for me. As Ms. Packnett was holding up that mirror, I could also sense others' discomfort at what that mirror showed. Then I wondered what I projected ahead, and I wondered what I would say if they thought Brittany's criticisms went too far. What if they wondered and asked me why she needed to make us feel so uncomfortable? Though I found myself completely comfortable with what she was saying, there was this worry that I was going to find a conversation with someone who disagreed uncomfortable. I was afraid of what they might say and how I might not have the right words, want to play nice and equivocate. It's a side of myself that makes me feel uncomfortable. Here's your final thought to share with your partner. Think of how you felt when you were inspired by another person or an idea. Begin. Switch. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Nasreen. Also, my other name is Sarah Gagne. I have many other names, but that's okay. And I needed to have many other names. My curiosity has always motivated me to search for continuous learning through observing, learning. Thank you. Why didn't I think about that? Discussing, talking, and listening to the experts. I'm going to read it from beginning. My curiosity has always motivated me to search for continuous learning through observing, reading, discussing, talking, and listening to the experts. The last two general assemblies that I attended are no exceptions. In the last GA, I was inspired by the services and activities that Unitarian Universalist United Nations Organization envoys do in the US and Canada. I learned that these dedicated volunteers go beyond their comfort zones to study, observe, and assist needy humans, not only locally, but globally as well. I put my curiosity to work and found out that our beloved UUCLB does not have a UUUNO envoy now. Very quickly, I let my imagination entertain me and surprisingly took me to my aha moment to put my love of UUCLB and traveling together and find out if I can serve as our local UUUNO envoy. In looking at the projects that UUUNO is practicing in, one caught my eye very much. I drink at least 9 glasses of water every day, maybe more in the heat waves. I read the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. All 17 of them warmed my heart and gave me more energy to not only talk about clean drinking water, but actually take action on availability of it locally and globally. Thank God we have access to clean drinking water right now, but I have one question, and that is there sufficient clean drinking water everywhere on this planet for everyone? If yes, congratulations to all of us. If no, what's our plan collectively? If we had an envoy, he or she would have been able to research and answer the question through his or her research. Otherwise, people in many countries would have to brush their teeth with water bottle, according to our dear friend Google. Thanks so much for listening and considering taking action, delivered with love.